All right, you Russo rappers, it's time to dust off your starter jackets, rip off those tearaways, and blow into your game cartridges. I'm Sam Blandford.
I'm Simon Blandford.
I'm Cam Pollock.
And we wish it was the 90s. Welcome in, dear listeners. Today we have a very special episode, as well as a very special guest. Today we are going to be covering Freaks and Geeks. Freaks and Geeks was created in 1999 by Paul Feig and executive produced by Judd Apatow. Apatow?
Oh, sure. Never know.
It aired on NBC in 1999 and 2000. Perhaps we're cheating by covering this, but I don't really care. I really enjoyed it, and it started in the 90s. The first six episodes aired in the 90s. There was a lot of moving around of the schedule of Freaks and Geeks. Perhaps we can get into that a little bit later. But thanks for coming on, Cam.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Big time fan, and looking forward to hearing you talk about Freaks and Geeks. We might talk a little bit about the cast in a little bit, but we'll start with our memories of Freaks and Geeks. Perhaps when you first watched it, and then sort of your how you felt about it this time around. Simon, we might start with you.
I definitely didn't watch it when it came out first. I think either Cam or Jared Spears told me I should get into it, but I can't be sure of which one, or possibly both of them. And either it was one of VHSs or DVDs that I was watching back then, or possibly reruns on a channel. But I remember really enjoying watching it, but I don't really have any memory of how I watched it. It was not long after it came on TV, though. Sort of, I was definitely watching it at high school.
What were your thoughts at the time?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, Cam definitely recommended a few characters specifically who I thoroughly enjoyed. I definitely remember him talking up Mr. Rosso and Neil Schwieber a lot. Well, Cam definitely, I think, was it Mr. Rosso? I think definitely a few scenes he talked up a lot and thoroughly enjoyed Rosso. But Neil Schreiber as well were the two characters I think Cam recommended the most, and liked them then and liked them now.
What about yourself, Cam?
Yeah, I think I might have ignored it when it first came out. I remember the ads coming on, and for some reason I didn't get into it straight away. But yeah, then reruns a few years later. I'm pretty sure they played it through the school holidays or something like that. And then tracking down the other episodes. I remember a friend having most of them or all of them on VHS and went round to his place. This was Jared. And hooked up the two VCRs. And dubbed as many episodes as we could.
Is that what you had to do?
In that situation, yeah.
I never dubbed any VHSs.
I could have had the tapes ready when I was watching them in the holidays, but had the rest of the episodes.
Jared, who hopefully will listen to this, was pretty keen for people to not lose his stuff as well, which might have been a reason why it had to be dubbed and not just borrowed.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm 90% sure, like, most of my memories come from secondhand from you, Simon.
You might know better. You might know better, because I can't remember.
I'm very sure that we watched Spears' DVD. And it was like I'm pretty sure that's how we watched it the first time. I don't even remember having a VHS in the early 2000s. Definitely didn't watch it when it came out.
The limited set that came with the yearbook, and you had to, like, pretty much sign some petition. He'll know better than me. I couldn't imagine he would have lent that out.
Definitely did not leave that DVD out. It was like bubble wrapped to hell, just in his like room.
Yeah, I from the like I remember, I was like setting my wife up to watch it with me this time, and I told her how funny it was. So my main memories were the humor side of things, but watching it this time. I barely laughed out loud. I still found a lot of moments and characters funny, but I definitely enjoyed it for different reasons this time. I don't know about if you guys found the same thing.
Yeah, I'd say so. Used to be way more into it for the comedy, but I still find it really funny, and yeah, it's got the other part to it too.
It was very teenage angsty, and I think that's kind of what they were going for. But I thought we could specifically talk about the two named gangs, Freaks and or Geeks, in the title, and get your thoughts on what gang in particular, you know, which storylines did you particularly like better? Maybe you like some of the characters better. Simon, were you a Freaks or a Geeks fan?
Definitely like both gangs, but just found myself enjoying the Geeks stuff a little bit more. It was a little lower stakes, I guess. And I kind of felt they were slightly more authentic as characters. Like, I feel like the writers of the show, maybe, I'm just guessing, it's a complete guess, may sort of have had more of the experience of the Geeks when they were at high school, perhaps. So I found them a little bit more authentic for that reason. There was a great line from Neil when Alan is tormenting the Geeks, or Sam especially, obviously, and Sam comes up with the idea of fighting him, and he wants Bill and Neil to join in, and Neil says, "It's a terrible plan. I'm not fighting Alan. He's not my tormentor. I know every route he takes to each class, and I avoid those halls. It's that simple." And I just thought that was like, that is an absolutely a line from someone who has had that happen at high school and has avoided their tormentor at high school. So I thought, yeah, the Geeks, long-winded answer, just because I felt that a bit more authentic and funny.
Yeah, I'd still say the Geeks. They play off each other really well. And yeah, I think it is a lot from the experiences of Paul Feig for both gangs, from what I read in that article as well. But probably more so the Geeks. Like I was saying, he wore a Parisian night suit to school. Probably one of the more comfortable scenes. Like, what's he doing? It's pretty extreme for that character.
I think I've got to make it 3 for 3. Geeks particularly. I probably saw myself a little bit more in the Geeks than I did in the Freaks. I didn't think about the low stakes sort of stuff, but, you know, Bill nearly dying from eating a peanut butter sandwich. Not quite low stakes.
I guess because it is higher stakes for the Freaks, that does give them some of the better episodes. Like the fake ID episode, which is great, because Rosso is involved as well at the start and the end.
The guy who's doing the fake IDs is real good too.
Yeah, he's in a lot of good 90s indie movies and probably still is in some.
Yeah, Rosso was fantastic in the episode.
I guess this is a question I've got that kind of stems from that, but I think I've got an answer for this, but I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. I feel like, so why do you think they decided to base their storyline around Sam and Lindsay, not necessarily just because they're brother and sister, but like they're not real. Like a lot of the other characters really uphold the comedic side of things. I would almost say that Lindsay and Sam suck. But why do you think, like, every storyline is seemingly based around those two? So I just wondered why you thought that's the reason they went down that path.
Just reject the premise that they suck.
Well, they don't. They don't suck, but I don't really love them as characters personally.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They can definitely.
Yeah, there's funnier characters for sure, but I still don't mind them as main characters.
Yeah, you kind of need. I've written something down for that because you put that question out to us on the chat. I think, well, yeah, Sam, they can definitely be a bit, like, I can see where you're coming from. Sam's real whiny, and Lindsay's hanging out with these people that she doesn't really share much in common with, which is just kind of annoying sometimes. So I definitely get where you're coming from. I just feel like they do kind of need two straight men as the main characters, as it were. Like, I think if you did it around Neil, and there you go, obviously Neil was especially, he's got a pretty interesting home life and stuff. And same with people like Kim, Kelly. They definitely, you know, there's definitely some depth to those characters and stuff. But if you based it around one of those, they're sort of not as relatable as just a kind of standard two-parent family with their own kind of issues, even though they're genuinely, or generally speaking, nice people. And I thought some of the sort of dilemmas that were a bit annoying, obviously, with Lindsay and Sam, I kind of did allow that interesting dynamic between the parents, I thought, who were great characters. You know, they were just both, I thought, wonderful characters. The dad, obviously, really funny, and the mum, I thought there were some quite nice moments with her sort of seeing her her children's childhood slip away, and I thought that was quite touching at times.
I think probably when I watched it as a teenager, I definitely didn't like them as characters. But I think you're right. They need to have like a straight man or straight person in the storyline. I think they definitely represent like that, what they're going for in that teenage angst, awkward stage. And not that other characters don't, but without having, like, I don't think they're funny at all the entire series. And I think that's deliberate, I guess, from the creators and producers.
I think some of Lindsay's reactions are quite funny. Like when Rosso's telling them about how they're like going through puberty in the shower. Oh, what are those? What's the, like, I think Lindsay's reactions are pretty funny to some of those things. But no, you're right. They're definitely the least funny of all of the, seven freaks and geeks.
Yeah, and when she tells Nick that she'll smoke weed with him and he says it's going to be so much fun, and then it cuts to him. And yeah, she just looks real uncomfortable. So they're funny because they're around. I mean, their scenes are good because they're with those awesome other characters.
Yeah, it's actually quite a good segue because Cam referred to an article earlier. It's a article on Vanity Fair that is kind of like a running diary of Freaks and Geeks from sort of start to finish. And it was a really, really good read if you're interested. But it did highlight that it was kind of the beginning for a lot of the cast, whether it be writing or producing or acting. I think like Lindsay or Linda Cardellini or whatever her name is, she was definitely one of the older ones. I think she's probably 23 playing a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I think she's like even older.
On 90210 levels of overage actors, but still a few years out of high school. Not 35.
Quite that age.
Yeah, and I think it was like the kicking off of their careers for a lot of them. So thinking about that, were there some performances other than maybe your Jeff Rosso's that you thought stood out?
You go, Cam.
Yeah, their dad, Harold, he's not one of the men, out of one of the main groups, but yeah. Like Rosso, he has so many good scenes.
He's absolute gold. That the dead bit is very early on, and it cements his legacy as a fantastic character. What do you reckon, Si?
Echo that. He kind of reminded me of, like, who's the uncle in Home Alone?
Oh. Definitely a lot like that guy. Real inappropriate.
Kind of reminds me of the cheapskate uncle in Home Alone, but with a bit of heart, obviously. So, yeah, he stood out to me. And I thought Linda Cardellini was just amazing the whole time. I thought she was brilliant.
Mm.
And, yeah, Neil Schreiber, of course. You know, he's like 12.
I'm putting it right up there.
Mm.
He goes from being stoned to not quite, well, he's stoned most of the time, and he really, like, makes it obvious. And, like, his thing with Lindsay is pretty funny. Freaking up to her always, and she's not really into it. Those are some of the good scenes, you know.
Yeah, Nick was great, eh? Like, he just nails that. Jason Segel perfected that grinning whilst high smile, I thought, the whole time. Like, but he had a lot of chance to practice it throughout the season. But, yeah, that grinning high smile he nailed.
First time I watched it, I thought Neil was definitely my favourite. And I much preferred Bill this time around. I thought Martin Starr, almost like the physical comedy of him, I thought was quite good. Like you could literally just cut to Bill and his mouth being open and staring is funny. Yeah, a little bit like Kramer, not like Kramer, but that physical side of him I thought was really, really good.
Yeah, you've seen him in other stuff and he's like really transformed into Bill for this show.
Yeah, and he, like, him, like, really hating Neil at points, I think's, like, that dynamic's really good.
Yeah, them giving each other shit is one of the great parts of the show.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely Harold. He was obviously an established actor at the time. And I thought Mr. Fredericks was really good, too, the PE teacher. Slash Biff.
Yeah, he was really good. I enjoyed that scene after they watched the porno and he sort of showed a more human side. That was quite cool. I did want to talk about that. I wondered, obviously we weren't around in the night, it was 1980 it set. I definitely felt the teachers cared way too much about certain things. Like that maths teacher, just like stomping up and down the hallways if someone's like 20 seconds late, just telling random kids to get to class. Like, that's just surely not at all. Well, I am a teacher. It's not what it's like, but maybe they used to be way more pedantic about those things.
Yeah, Mr. Kalchewski, is it?
Yeah.
It's probably not one of the better minor characters.
Nah. Yeah, he kind of gets sick of it.
Lots of really good minor characters. Lots of random appearances from people who went on to do reasonably big things. I saw what's that guy's name from Holes? I'm sure he's Shia LaBeouf was like a little was yeah. He was in it. A couple of female comedians whose names Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones.
Yeah, it was not jarring to see them, but it was definitely weird.
Ben Stiller on the last episode.
Hmm.
Apparently that was a last-ditch attempt to get the show on for a second season.
Yeah, that stuff sounds crazy. Yeah, it sounded like people at NBC didn't really do them any favours moving it around. That's what there's massive gaps in the airing of a lot of the shows. Sounds like they did the finale as like episode 13, but then there's like five extra episodes after that.
Yeah, apparently the show was already going, and then NBC or whoever it was got a new executive, and he was like behind Dawson's Creek in his past role. So he was that kind of guy, and he didn't have much time for the show. So that probably didn't help it.
What were your guys' thoughts on the character Eli?
I thought he was really necessary. And I thought possibly, I mean, a masterstroke is putting it a bit too far, I think. But there were definitely, quote unquote, special kids at school. And they were definitely taken advantage of by basically everybody. And no one really did anything about it. So I thought he was a really, really good character from the sense that he existed. You know, Eli's existed at all high schools.
Yeah, it was a hard scene to watch when he hurdles down the grandstand and face plants. But yeah, that's one of the best episodes. First one, it starts off so well. Is quite a big part of it.
What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I think that scene particularly, while being hard to watch, is fantastic. With Goldberg, where because Lindsay absolutely does the right thing by standing up for him, but completely fumbles the standing up for him. And I think that it would have been really difficult, and not many people, as you said, Simon, would have done the sticking up for somebody like that. I thought he was really great. The guy, I thought, acted it brilliantly too. Thomas, can't remember his name. Heaps of those little characters were fantastic, I thought.
That's quite a big thing in Freaks and Geeks, where they're so close to having a great moment, but it just goes bad.
That's what the article does mention. I think a lot of the people at NBC wanted the characters to have something good happen to them.
Apatow was shooting it down, and a few other people, but yeah, a lot of people wanted better things to happen.
Have some wins.
I had to put the mum a bunch of times. She's finally connecting with Lindsay, and then she screws it up somehow. Which is real funny. As someone watching it, I don't mind that they have these losses. Maybe it would have been a popular show.
Especially if you consider the other shows that were on that were sort of cult classics at around the similar, like The Office came out in 2001, I think. And that's like just outright out and out cringe. And you know, it's a great show, but whereas this is more, you know, as you say, there's just not big wins for the characters, and there's ups and downs and stuff. So, as you say, Cam, I don't think it's hard to watch because of that at all.
No, some people would say it's a bad thing, I guess.
So, MVP of Freaks and Geeks, a tough one, but you're going to have to come up with one. And then we'll do maybe some best supporting actor, maybe talk about some of the minor characters that we haven't touched on. Simon, MVP?
I'm with Lindsay, which I don't know whether she wins that by default because she is so central to the show, so maybe that's cheating a little bit. I just found her story to be really believable. She was kind of perfect in that role, and that very real trope of trying to fit in was... Yeah, it was sort of, you know, morally ethical stuff that is stupid and pointless, but teenagers kind of find themselves doing, even if they are smart. So I really like that. Some good symbolism stuff, like her jacket is often commented on as being weird or not suiting her. And then at the dance, she takes it off while dancing with Eli, and she's having a good time. It's good stuff. It's good identity stuff. I really, really like Lindsay. She kind of reminded me a lot of the Arctic Monkeys song Riot Van, like where you you know, you participate in some of the more stupid parts of youth culture, but you just keep doing it even whilst kind of rejecting in your mind. It's a weird part of teenagehood.
You nearly talked me around there, Cam.
Finding it hard to pick between Bill and Nick. Just find their scenes the funniest, and especially Nick's relationship with Lindsay. Those were some of the funniest scenes. And like you were saying, Bill's physical stuff and timing and this thing with Neil was always so good.
Yeah, my MVP is definitely Bill. Him watching Dallas pissed up on that keg is so good. And the when he does that, baseball episode is so good, and he does that voicemail to the coach who's dating his mum.
Bionic Woman as well. Bionic Woman for Halloween is pretty good.
It's another one of those near victories when he catches the guy out in that baseball or softball, whatever they're playing. But who gets to cut the ball and actually get them out. The way that's edited as well is so good. Like, you know, the slow motion and the victory. Some pretty good editing on other episodes, like when they're getting whipped with the towels.
Yes.
Yes. And the dodgeball.
I second that. That's great.
I think they could have had a bit more Gordon Crisp if it was if it were me. A bit more Gordon Crisp. A bit more Harris. Thought Harris was quite good. I wouldn't call them really good supporting actors, but Simon, you got any that haven't been mentioned yet, or one that stands above the rest that
supporting actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. Gordon was really good. Really enjoyed that character. Also enjoyed in the earlier episodes, I don't even know his name. It's that kid with the long hair and the moustache. I found him really funny how he's like a year above them and they go to him for all this advice and stuff.
Harris.
Harris, yeah, Harris is really good. Neil's not. I just want to give Neil a shout out. I love in that episode, the keg episode, where he's like kind of having a lighthearted argument with the black kid about who's got it worse, him or Neil, the black kid or Neil. And Neil says, "I was elected as class treasurer last year. I didn't even run." That was a great line. Not a supporting actor, he's not too much, but Neil was the king of the one-liner, I feel like. He gets the best lines, I think, because they kind of play him as this. He's like a Jewish kid, but he's also like a 60-year-old Jewish man, the way he dresses and behaves. So I think Neil was my second for MVP, but supporting actor, no one apart from the great Rosso.
Cam?
Yeah, again, Rosso for me, or Harold Weir. Rosso gets quite a lot of scenes. Like, you never see the principal, I don't think. There's something wrong about that. Yeah, he gets the most scenes out of any teacher. So, yeah, it's quite good that he gets it worse.
He says such an outsized role as a school counselor. Yeah. Like, he's ridiculously overstepping his boundaries at all times. It's pretty funny. Like, counselors are like basically only there if a student asks for them, and he's just like just calling kids into his office left, right, and center for reasons unknown.
A wrap. Couple that haven't been mentioned that I just liked. Like, I think he's probably not supporting. He's quite main, but Ken, Seth Rogen's character, I think is very good. And we haven't mentioned Redacted, but Daniel Desario. He holds up quite a lot of episodes as well. You can see his talent early on. I think Millie is a great character.
Good mention.
Her straightness to Lindsay's kind of wayward, where her life is heading, apparently.
I felt like Seth Rogen's character way more the first kind of time sort of show. And the time since, he's just, starred in so many huge movies and everything. Still kind of like him, but when you first saw him, it was quite a lot better.
He doesn't quite fit in that gang that well. He doesn't seem nearly as angsty as the other three or four freaks, I don't think.
Definitely could see a lot of, like, that person in your friend group, though. I found it, whereas I couldn't necessarily see some of the other characters. And Ellen, I thought, Ellen was good too. Played a good bully.
Yeah. Definitely a good character.
The best supporting actor is definitely Harold Weir. That guy is absolute gold every single time he's on. The fact that he runs a sports den like sporting goods business is even better.
I enjoyed his smart and cringe that his career story. Just because I don't know why that comes up, because Lindsay's going to go out with Nick or something. Cautionary story. That one had Jim Rosso's herpes story. Those are the ones that really surprised me watching it this time around.
What was that, sir?
Just on the dads, he kind of reminded me, Nick's dad kind of reminds me of, so remember the episode where he's like the army dude, or, you know, he's like, he's pretty hardcore. The relationship between him and Nick reminds me of Garland Briggs and Bobby Briggs, Cam, from Twin Peaks a little bit. Remember Bobby Briggs, the bikey guy on Twin Peaks? Right. So that his dad, like, he's this bikey rebel, and his dad's like a nice guy, but just real hard, real army, staunch army man like Nick's dad. I just saw a few parallels there, though. Bobby Briggs' dad on Twin Peaks is actually probably a nicer guy than Nick's dad, who seems just like a total jerk.
I thought all the dads were good.
You can leave that one out, Sam. Random Twin Peaks reference there.
I was about to say, I think in most pop culture there is some kind of army dad who is a dick to their son.
Yeah, very, very true.
Yeah, they do dad characters pretty well, I'm not sure. And on Undeclared, the show they do after, the main guy's dad is another really good character.
You think that? I haven't seen that either, Cam, but it's good, is it? Undeclared?
Yeah, you should definitely watch it.
It's, tell the folks at home what Undeclared's about.
Freaks and Geeks got cancelled after one season somehow. So this Undeclared was the show kind of some of these people did next. So it was an Apatow thing.
Yeah.
It's just a 20-minute episode show, unlike Freaks and Geeks, which is 40, whatever. It's set in the time it came out, like early 2000s, and they're in college. Seth Rogen's probably the only main cast member who's in the main cast of Undeclared. He's a far different character. But yeah, like the main guy could have easily been in Freaks and Geeks. He's like worthy of being in the Geeks group. And that's like the character that episode would do around this time. And everyone shows up in it, like Neil's in it, Bill's in it, for at least one episode.
I must see it. I wonder how you watch it.
Pretty sure it's on YouTube. But one of the highlights is Jason Segel's in this as a similar character, but probably even more psychotic. stalking again his ex-girlfriend. Real good cameos from like Will Ferrell's got a really good one. Where he's a just this guy that lives near the campus doing drugs and playing PlayStation all day, but they pay him to do his tests.
It was interesting that I've been like gutted for years that it was cancelled prematurely, and I still am a little bit, but after watching it this time I'm definitely a bit more at peace with that. I just kind of more grateful that there were quite a few more episodes than I actually realized, and I'm a bit less gutted now that it's actually quite a lot of content that you can watch and rewatch, and it'll always be there. So I'm definitely a little less gutted than I was, which is nice after watching it again.
Yeah, I've never really got sick of watching the 18 episodes. Anytime I've gone back to it, it's always been good. But one more season would have been pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
They stopped it at that 13th episode and into this season after that. I think would have been ideal. You don't want TV shows going on for too many seasons, I don't reckon.
And it's got less episodes than The Office.
Mm.
I mean, more episodes than The Office.
It's got quite a few more, right?
Yeah, much more than what they did.
So my last question before we go is, do you think it holds up today?
Yeah, I think I could show it to a younger person and they would be into it. It's one of those, like, it starts off so well too.
I would say almost certainly yes, that it holds up, and I same to Cam's comment, I'd almost certainly say that you could show it to a younger person and they would really enjoy it. So yeah, I hope so. It does to me, but maybe just because it's of my era, but I'm almost positive that it does. I loved it.
And Cam said it starts so well. I thought he may have been referring to the song at the start of the opening credits, which just goes off every single time. I don't give a damn about my reputation. That's such a good bit.
Great soundtrack in general.
Mm. Yeah, it's got a good soundtrack.
So least valuable character, someone who didn't live up to their billing or the billing of the show. Simon, I think you had someone up your sleeve.
No, I mean, look, even though I kind of rejected the premise of you saying the character sucked, the main character sucked, Sam is my LVP.
Mine was Neil's brother. I don't know if you remember his involvement.
From Holtz.
My problem with him was he shows up at the school kind of giving the teachers shit and acting like he's awesome. But who shows up at their school 2 years after finishing?
Yeah, my LVP was actually it was Sam probably. I didn't really warm to Kim, and I know you're not supposed to warm to Kim, but yeah, I just didn't love. It probably wasn't her performance at all. Maybe it's the way she was written. I found myself not enjoying the scenes and episodes that were based around her, I guess.
I had Kim down as a valuable character as well.
Who?
Kim. I was saying who.
Definitely didn't have her as the most valuable. Least. Oh, you did. Good. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Also had her right up there as least valuable for the reasons you just said. I think you summed it up by saying, look, it just wasn't fun when she was in a scene.
Yeah.
And the ongoing relationship with Daniel is an absolute dogger.
Mm. Actually, I'm changing my pick. Kim is now my least valuable because for the reason you said, Sam, because Sam is still in scenes And for me, even though he's annoying, I'm not like not enjoying the scene. Whereas with Kim, you borderline sometimes can't enjoy the scene when she's in it. So I've changed my opinion.
Honorable mention to Cindy Sanders. She sucks too. Any scene she's in, I'm like, get me out of here.
Come on.
Bring her up. I thought she was an all right character. Pretty bad when Sam and her finally started going out together.
She's like double his height.
I really enjoyed Cindy because of the conversations she sparked amongst the three of them. I found really funny. Them overthinking everything, I thought was quite good as a result of that. Like at one point, she brings Sam a jacket or something, and like it's. And they were like, oh, yeah, she's definitely in love with you or something like that. So I quite enjoyed them overthinking, and it just led to lots of funny conversations amongst the geeks, which is why I quite like Cindy, even though, yeah, it's not like a special character, but just that romantic interest, the conversations that sparked and the laughs I thought were really funny between the geeks.
One thing I'd forgotten about her character was her last scene is really bad for that character. I can't exactly remember what happened, but she just comes off so bad. And maybe when she gets given the heirloom, which is pretty full on for them going out, and she has no time for it, and she's just been a dick. And that's the last you see of her.
The only good thing, well, going back to your point, Simon, so it could have been anyone and not Cindy, and it still would have been funny, you know? The only good part that I enjoyed her was when she was part of that was it drink driving or taking drugs or something? And they do that skit in assembly that Russo's, he's like heading it. And I think it's Harris.
Again, no idea why he's hitting this skit. He's just everywhere.
He's more like the principal of the school than anyone else.
Doesn't she isn't she in the drama club where they, her, the drama teacher and some other ones, they come in and they start doing a Shakespeare scene in the canteen, and then they try and sell some tickets. It's just ludicrous.
All right. Anything else, guys? No. So thanks for coming on, Cam. Really appreciate it. It's great re-watching Freaks and Geeks and then subsequently talking about it with you.
Yeah, it's good to watch it again.
Look out for some, maybe some X-Men 97, perhaps Simpsons one-off characters in the pipeline. Good.
That was a real funny sign-off.